Welcome back, welcome back. Okay, tonight we have a double program, a very short show now because I've had 20 minutes of technical issues. So a very short show, and then we'll go to the Patreon hangout. If you want to join us at the private monthly hangout, you have to subscribe to the Subscribe Star. The link is in the description below. And yeah, I had so many technical issues. The sound wasn't totally right. Something went wrong with the video. My monitor started having a dim. There were dim sides, and then there was a center line that was horizontal, that was an abnormal illumination. I think it's because I've used too much power. At this point, I've reached the total capacity of this electrical plug on which the show rely. And so now I've divided the load on two different plugs. I think this was a symptom of the monitor starting to flicker because it didn't have enough energy. And then, of course, Odyssey makes it extremely hard to start a second stream on the same night because it kind of takes some time to update from the blockchain, and it's very complicated. So anyways, I just wanted to chill today before we get to the private hangout. John Selmer Dix suggests that we have been DDoS'd by the Catholic Church. The Pope didn't want bad coverage of his story. Maybe. And he says, this stream has received a gay blessing. We have been targeted by gay ops. There was this news that I wanted to cover. I wanted to make it a main news of the show about a week ago, but the news outlets that were reporting that news were unreliable, and so I was like, how do I determine if this is even true? But now a lot of news outlets have verified that this girl who got caught masturbating with a dildo on the beach and got charged for public indecency because there were some families and children who saw her with her dildo on the beach. This girl has committed suicide, apparently. So her video showed up as a meme, and she committed suicide, apparently, along those dates. It's not clear whether she committed suicide as part of the shame that she felt because her video went very mimetic. But yeah, she had been found masturbating on the beach in 2021, and now she commits suicide in 2023, right after her video goes viral of her being arrested. I had noted that she had a Christian cross here on the neck. Anyways, it's sad that she's dead. But her family maintains, and I would trust the family on this, her family maintains that that she didn't commit suicide because of the mimetic video. So perhaps she had other problems and it was long-lasting in her life. And her family is convinced that it is not as a result of the shame that she has committed suicide. And families tend to be somewhat aware of these things, so I would tend to trust the family unless given other evidence. We already had two super chats that I needed to answer on the previous video, but I couldn't finish. So let's answer them. Someone was saying, Jeff, why do streamers start their show with 15 minutes of fucking music before starting? Just start later. What is the biological foundation of this behavior? Even Ryan Dawson does it. It's fucking irritating. Yeah, I don't get it. To me, the music at the beginning is a maximum of 30 seconds, and it has to be there because you want to have time to place yourself, to place the mic, everything. But more than this, it just shows incompetence. It shows that people are not prepared to be there on time. They need to do some framing, like when you have guests, you have to You have to frame them. You have to choose the part of the screen that you will rebroadcast. And that is too bad. Well, the Crucible does it well because I think the Crucible's music is very entertaining. It's rock and roll, and you can feel that the mood is starting for the debate. That I kind of like. But the others, I don't respect at all. Why do they do this? Because of laziness, because of artistic laziness. Because the fact is, when you choose this life, you should be always on time, always ready to deliver. Of course, there are technical issues you can't control, as I had tonight. But then you still have to produce a show that is watchable from the start once you've solved your technical issues. So I totally agree with you on this. And I had, I think I had an email super chat. Let me check this. Someone wanted, someone had sent me crypto super chat, and he said, ask this to Grok. He wanted me to ask to Grok, what is the best open source AI option and why? Because he wanted to test if Grok was biased in its choice of artificial intelligence. But as it turns out, Grok was so autistic on the question that you're asking for open source AI. So Grok has answered, the best open source AI options are one of these three. One, Hugging Face. Two, Stable Diffusion. And three, Llama. So those are three AIs that we don't, that are not very much popular. Not as much as ChatGPT. But that's because you asked in your question, open source. Well, Grok isn't open source. ChatGPT isn't open source. And so there you go. You got your response. But it's like the genie in the bottle, you know? He's autistic about giving you an answer that you perhaps don't even expect because there's something you forgot in your question. And here it was the open aspect. Open source totally blocked it to these three choices. And we had another super chat coming tonight before the show began. Dustin Diamond sent $17.76, and he says, Merry Christmas. Well, thank you. I am feeling, I don't know if I'm feeling the ambience of Christmas totally, but I'm feeling the winter. Today I've been redoing a little bit of the studio, replacing stuff, connecting new electrical connector for... Because I found out that one of my electrical connectors isn't properly grounded. I don't know if it's recent, because I think I would have noticed if that happened before, but I noticed that now it's not grounded properly. So I rewired everything to a new electrical connector with ground, and I've been dealing with some red tape today. So lots of things on my shoulder. But I feel cleaned. I feel that I've advanced today. So I'll be back on the show. I've been taking 3 days of not break, but I didn't do shows for 3 days. It's very rare that 3 days in a row I don't do shows. But I had one debate. I had something set up in IRL personal life. And then one other debate. So I had the Crucible debate on surrogacy. I think this was an interesting debate. This was a debate where that was not in bad faith, that was, we discussed intelligence stuff, and, well, I was faced with a libertarian who, I mean, at the end, he ended up revealing something that I didn't even have him reveal, but one of the callers actually called in and just totally destroyed him because he ended up revealing that, oh yeah, I don't agree with embryo selection, but I agree with surrogacy in principle. And it's like, well, you know, all IVF goes with embryo selection of some sort because there's always a number. You never do an IVF of a single egg and a single sperm. You always will have some number of zygotes produced, and you will in fact implant a number of them because you want one to catch well. You need to implant two or three. You need to select those two or three from a group of maybe 8 to 10. And so there's always selection happening. Even if you ask, don't select, the scientists who are doing this, they are looking at them in the microscope and they're like, this one looks healthy, this one doesn't look healthy. So we're already we've already introduced a natural selection of the eye of the scientist. And it's kind of disgusting when you think about it, because we're asking little zygotes that were meant to just work. They were meant to just go into your uterus, plug themselves, and live from your blood. Now, we took this system, and now we're having these zygotes dance for scientists. And the zygote that succeeds at pleasing the eye of the scientist is the zygote that will be selected. We have a new form of beauty emerging, which is beauty under the microscope. Beauty under the microscope in the eye of the scientist. And I don't know where that could lead. I mean, at some point you may have a peacock tail effect. Why wouldn't you have zygotes that develop colorful displays to be the one, to be the chosen one by the scientist? That would be interesting to see. Lendald Guntram says, Guy failed at basic understanding of animal breeding concepts. Oh yeah, it was so funny how he was like, I destroyed you on biology. Isn't it awesome? I'm not even a biologist and I'm destroying you. And this was so... This was Delusions of Grandeur, as someone that I know, watched the show called it. Delusions of Grandeur, this guy suffered from. As if a layman is going to come. Like, if you're a layman and you think you've totally undermined the guy with a specialist PhD in this field, that there's something wrong. You should question yourself. It's probably not what you think. So that was fun, but otherwise it was fun because still he engaged in some sort of good faith. Now, the debate on modern day debate, infrared was very disappointing to me, because at first it went not so bad. We each presented our cases, but then he started playing a game of being a politician kind of, and oh yeah, the people and the people are this and the people that, and it's like, well, this is supposed to be an intellectual debate. It's not. I'm not here to please the crowd to that extent. You know, this is not a political campaign where I'm opposed to you. So that was weird. And then he started going into strawman at the very end and gish galloping. He was kind of making a point that I wanted to debunk first, and then he was flooding it with 1 minute, 2 minutes of politician speech that was weird. At some point, you know, I said, it's the job of the moderator normally to see that this guy is trying to slime away from addressing each point. Because here he is giving a point that I could falsify. I'd like the moderator's job, one of the jobs, is not just to make sure that people don't speak over each other. It's to make sure that if there is a speaking over the other that would be justified, that it happens and that the other gets shut down and that we can address one idea at a time. Because if you say something that I would like to deepen, but then you move to a totally different subject, it's the job of the moderator to make sure, hey, before we move to that different subject, let's address what you just said there. But I couldn't get this from the moderator. It's not that I'm frustrated at this moderator. It's just that it's very frustrating from an audience perspective, because here I am part of a show that I don't control, and I can't make that show good if one of the debate partners is being dishonest and the moderator is not calling him out. So at some point, it's like it's your channel that pays the price. It's not so much me, because the kind of gish galloping and strawmanning that he did, I don't think is particularly efficient. I don't think it pleases the crowd. Of course, he will please whatever supporters he has with this kind of tactic, but it's not something that is strong winning the debate. I had many people come to me and say he won the debate rhetorically. That is always fascinating to me because never, never in my life has anyone said that I won a debate rhetorically. Never happened. Sometimes the debates that I've crushed, that I totally destroyed the other, you had the fans of the other, like the Surf Stevie guy. You had the fans of the other saying, holy shit, JF destroyed our guy. Like totally destroyed. They didn't say, oh, JF won rhetorically. So this winning rhetoric is bizarre to me because if you were maybe in a campaign of pleasing, maybe that would make sense. You want to win rhetorically if you want to get elected. But if you're in intellectual debate, what does it even mean to win rhetorically? And, you know, people say, oh, JF was in a corner. He was pissed. No. No. I don't experience being pissed in a debate. I act, I play, when I find that the debate is too boring intellectually, I take it upon my shoulder to make it not boring. And sometimes that involves yelling at the other, and that involves even making a claim that one is oppressed and mistreated by the moderator or things like this. But it is all it's a thing that I've done way too much in my life. I have 1,000 debates under my belt. I may be the person who has most debated right now on planet Earth. Because if you spent your adult life debating once a week, I have more debates than you. So have you debated in your whole adult life from the moment you're 18 to the moment you're 40, if you've debated only once a week, I have more debates than you. So after so much debates in my life, there is no such thing as being pissed. but I can at times just display being pissed, display being frustrated, because I think sometimes it's the right way to win the crowd, and sometimes it's the right way to make a point, which is my point yesterday was this debate has been wasted because here you have a guy that I just accused of strawmanning me, and his next sentence was, okay, so I'm going to assume that you're a slave owner for... And it's like, well, I just accused you of strawmanning me and you double down with an even bigger strawman. It's not very productive. And somehow he had this bizarre... He wanted me to stand by a whole system. Like, he wanted me to stand for everything that America has ever done. And he was like, I stand for... And he even ended up standing for the genocide, the Holodomor, the genocide of the Ukrainians. And defending it. See, I can defend everything that communism does. You need to defend everything that capitalism does. Well, from the beginning, I've acknowledged that there were imperfections in the implementations of capitalism, that really true per capitalism had never really physically existed. Just like per communism, by the way. There's always a tribal mix of interest and existential priors that play out, and people just trying to survive and doing whatever they have to do to do so. And so it never really happens that an idea is implemented in the physical universe. I mean, even a circle apparently cannot be, you know, a Euclidean circle cannot be truly implemented in the universe. You're going to have some distortion of space-time. You're going to have some imperfection. You're going to have an imperfect round at some point. So, yeah, I don't believe in implementing ideas, but the theme of the debate wasn't Canada versus China. It was capitalism versus communism. So it's like... The debate is wasted from the moment this guy decided to impose on me a threshold that wasn't at all the stated purpose of the debate. If you really have issue with talking about capitalism, the idea of capitalism versus the idea of communism, refuse the debate. But we've been invited to a debate by James that was about capitalism versus communism. Not the implementation of it, not the particular country that implemented it, but the political ideologies. And I was there ready to defend the political ideology. I don't have to stand for everything that America has ever done because I don't stand for slavery, for example. Since we only have about 10 minutes left, a quick review of the news. Pope Francis approves blessings for same-sex couples in a win for progressive Catholics. Traditional and conservative Catholics worldwide are stunned and outraged in the wake of another victory for the progressive wing of the church, which clearly more influence at the Vatican, a trend which has been very visible throughout Pope Francis' liberalizing pontificate, administer a formal blessing for same-sex couples. This blessing should never be imparted in concurrence with the ceremonies of a civil union and not even in connection with them. Okay, a couple asking for a blessing should not be denied, full stop. He said that we must not be too autistic, basically. He didn't use the word autistic, but he basically said, don't be too autistic on doing too much moral scrutiny at the request of a blessing. I think it's in line with what the Catholic Church has been doing forever. The Catholic Church is a church that grows through adherence and expansion over populations. And it kind of has to dilute itself to be at the local taste of everything. And so it follows the trend too much. But I was listening to a Baptist pastor saying that in the Bible, it is said that the church isn't of this world, that the preaching, that the ideology of true Christianity isn't of this world. Those are the words of the Bible. And yet the Catholic Church is exactly the opposite of this. If you think about it, they are constantly adjusting and connecting with the world. They are letting them have their doctrine softened by the events of the world. And in a way, when you do so, you cannot avoid but to be the victim, ultimately, to fall for the parasitism that religion is supposed to fight against. Inevitably, the Catholic Church down the line will be as progressive as the progressives of today. Maybe it's going to be with a 50-year delay, but they will continue down that path. And the problem here is, if religion has one function, it would be to restore something that has worked in the past into a state of tradition against an alternative that is dangerous, but that people don't have a moral guide to protect themselves from. So the function of religion is to carry through tradition moral guides that are competing with the current world. You cannot just dilute your moral guide of your religion to the image of the current world, because the current world will drift. So the Catholic Church, as described by historian Philip Fabry, whose book I have translated, is bound to have a policy of always seeking more adoption, always seeking more clientele, because it's ultimately a clientele church. And so they're going to want to keep the South Americans within. They're going to have to adjust to South American reality. They want to keep the liberal leftist of the US. They're going to have to adjust to LGBT. And to me, the church therefore loses any of its relevance and any of its role that it could have played. And on top of it, if there is a war through which you can win, it is the war of reproduction. And I'm afraid that the Catholic Church used to be a guide for colonization. It was a guide for the colonization of Quebec. And you had villages like the one my grandfather lived in and my father lived in that were centered around the church. The church was commanding and ordering that people reproduce at a high rate, and we populated entire areas of the planet that way. But if the Catholic Church keeps being, oh, we have to be more open, to be more inclusive, to be more welcoming of new adherents, but their message becomes deeply as anti-natalist as modern culture, then the Catholic Church will fail. And I believe that they will fail. I believe that the Catholic Church will reduce itself to a diluted meme and will eventually lose the fight of reproduction, the fight of evolution, to perhaps branches of Christianity that are more extreme, that are more radical on this. Sense of Progress says, tobacco marketers pulled out of the West and went to the Third World. The Catholic Church has followed. It knows where its customers are. Well, that is too bad. That is really too bad. But it's not that I care. Operation Prosperity Guardian, Pentagon launches an expensive naval coalition to defend the Red Sea Passage. So lots of boats will be around. My God, that is U.S. warships currently operating in the Red Sea. Look at this line. I mean, you can't do anything without crossing an American ship path. Lots of control, lots of encircling of Yemen. Wow, that is a lot of presence, very costly for something that is absolutely foreign interest. For the last few minutes before we move to the private hangout, I showed it on the Crucible debate. But the reason I showed it is because I would have wanted to make an unboxing video, but I wasn't making a video, so I couldn't. The Block Clock is amazing. I love it. I wouldn't recommend buying this for most of you. It's really a geek thing. There are things that are disappointing about it. The refresh rate of 5 minutes minimum is very... Initially, I was very disappointed by it. We are at 42K, DK Shadow, yes, 42.7K. That is the actual Bitcoin price right now. It will update within 5 minutes. Listen, it's a product that is fascinating to me. It's beautiful. It is geeky to the max. It is e-ink technology, so that's already a rare thing, to put e-ink. And is it really useful that it's e-ink? It could have been LCDs, I guess. And this thing consumes enormous amounts of power. I mean, I think this clock is responsible for why my screen bugged. My screen was lacking power because of this. It's like 2.5 amp, and it's a little clock with e-ink. And because it's e-ink, they say they cannot refresh very quick. But the animations do show you that you can refresh quick. Because when I control this clock from my HTTP connection to it, there's an animation showing, and when it refreshes, it does show flashing screens for a moment. So you could go fast with it, but they decided to rate limit it. You have the choice between a black background and a white background. I've set it to a white background because it's e-ink, so the white background doesn't cost more in electricity. It is beautiful to see. The main reason, it's not a product that's worth $400, but it's just luxury. It's beautiful to see. look at this. It's all a board. This is why I'm telling you, you might not want to buy this. Because look at this. You can't eat chicken tendies around this. The electronics are fully exposed. You're going to have Cheeto dust stuck inside of there, and it's going to eventually break it. So it's really not made in a way that is resilient. And look at the plug. Look at the plug. It's going to fall. I mean, any sort of tension on this wire will rip this off. There is no casing. It's really just a wire connecting direct to an electronic board that's just soldered there. It's going to bend at some point. So for many reasons, it's an annoying product that has been built in ways that are basically dangerous. But if you're like me, you see it as kind of an article, my precious. And I'm going to try not spitting Cheetos dust on it. I'm going to try not having drops of Diet Coke go into it. But I don't know if I will succeed, to be honest. Now, the reason it's fascinating to me, and the reason, although I'm telling you, don't buy it, I don't regret my purchase personally, is stuff like this. They have a push API that you can communicate with directly from a Linux server. And it's like, when is it in my life that I've been given the opportunity to buy a piece of electronic that is so designed for people like me that they even thought of making it controllable through a Linux server? And I'll show you what we can do. From the Linux server, I can send directly an HTTP request to the address and see, for example, I see that John Drake is in the regular chat. Let's write John Drake with the HTTP API. I mean, it's quite fascinating that this is where you may not find this interesting, but to me, it's like, oh, someone understands me. And see, the screen is refreshable at a high rate because they play an animation. And John Drake has been written. So you can communicate with it, and it makes me feel not alone. It makes me feel, oh my God, there's someone out there like me who has his Linux server running just in case, and he thought it would be cool that you could send curl HTTP requests to the electronic. This is where I say, to me, it's worth it. Now, consider this. This, for a $400 product, I'm getting not glass, I'm getting plexiglass. Now, what the fuck? This plexiglass is going to be all scratched within a year from now. I mean, if I just bring a woman around this, she's going to be using some dust removal accessory of some sort. She's going to be like, I'm just removing the dust. And she's going to be carrying rocks in her stuff, and the rocks will scratch this. Plexiglass is not a serious... it's not a serious material to work with. And how is it that I end up with plexiglass on a $400 clock? That's just what it is, man. It is this weird Black Clock Mini, which personally I'm satisfied with, but it's very hard to recommend this. If you like to have an item that you will adore, that you will respect, that you will care for in some extreme way, you can buy it. It's a fun toy with options that are funny, but it has no use but to show the Bitcoin price. And honestly, it's been good for my mental health because I keep looking at the Bitcoin price on my screen and the refresh rate is high. And this is where the 5-minute refresh rate of this clock, actually, I'm learning to appreciate it. I thought it was a defect at first, but now I'm like, oh, well, it has kind of fixed a problem of my life, which is that I look at the Bitcoin price every minute. And of course, there's nothing to learn every minute. It doesn't matter what the Bitcoin price is every minute. In fact, it barely matters every hour. It barely matters every day because I'm a hodler. And so to have this 5-minute refresh rate that sets it in an e-ink display that's, you know, it's just there, and you don't have the anxiety of knowing that this is a screen, so it consumes power. It's great. It's great. It really feels great. So somehow this clock has been designed for autists like me who are too anxious, who track the price way too much. It's kind of a therapy session. It turns out to be a good product to me. And written just at the bottom right, if you don't believe it or don't get it, I don't have the time to try to convince you. Sorry. Satoshi Nakamoto, a quote of him. Yeah, that is true. He did say this. He didn't have time to explain to you. Lebanese lady says, I want JF to impregnate me. You can be put on the queue, but I cannot impregnate anyone. I am currently taken and committed for life to my girlfriend. And so she would have to leave me for me to go into the queue and continue down the list. Too bad. Too bad you missed your shot, Lebanese lady. That is it for tonight, boys. We'll have our private hangout in... let's not start in 5 minutes. I need a little break for my voice. So let's take about 10 minutes and I'll be starting it on... So go on Patreon, go on Subscribestar, and you will see the links there. DK Shadow says there are open source alternatives to the block clock. They can be as nice as you're able to build it. I think I can hack this block clock. Because when I control through the HTTP interface, I can switch from one display to the other within seconds. So clearly it's not rate limited at the hardware level. Now I just have to hack the UI that is served by this block clock, find what are the WebSocket connection established, simulate those WebSocket connection to display the things I want to display, and I could offer a hacked version of it, but I don't know if I want to invest time on this. It's not so healthy, you know, to do this. Anyways, let's go to the private show in 10 to 15 minutes from now. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you.